Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show.
That was Travis.
That's Travis. I'm Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I am Ash Riot. And this is the Hologram Radio Show.
Tonight is September the what? Is it an 8th?
It's the 8th already.
Oh my goodness.
It feels like it was just August. It was just summer. It feels kind of like summer today, though.
Well, I think the mugginess feels like summer here in Vancouver area, but the weather itself doesn't.
Yeah.
The cloudiness over the ocean, actually, right now, I was just outside. There's a lot of cloud. It's really bizarre.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Very bizarre weather. Let's just talk about the weather for an hour.
Yeah. This show is now about weather. Actually, that might be a cool concept one day, just to talk about the weather, not like our weather,
but
how
it affects. We could talk about heart, maybe.
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
I don't know.
But that's a future show. Tonight, our topic is, what is it? Ash.
To school for cool.
To school for cool.
Because, well, kids went back to school this week, and it's line out of a Pink song. I'm not a huge Pink fan, I have to say, but I do think she is so... I don't like pop music, but I think she is...
She's mega talented.
So mega talented. She's so great. Like,
amazing.
I love her talent. Not my style of music, but she's amazing.
Well, Raise Your Glass is one of the top songs of late.
We play it every time we DJ.
We are DJs as well as musicians and poets and radio hosts and artists and people living in this planet as you are.
Yep.
And coping with the world the way it is and wanting to inspire change. Peace. Definitely want to bring peace to the world. That is what we're all about as a band, as human beings, and love and being very candid and very open about the struggles that we even personally have in doing this and being artists and being light workers. I guess that's the terminology that's being used a lot for people who are wanting to bring peace, wanting to bring love to the planet, wanting to eradicate war, which is my goal. My personal goal would be to eradicate war. And I know that many people say that's an impossibility, but I don't believe it. I believe that if we work together, we can do many great things. And this is why we do the show. We've been doing the show now for over 2.5 years.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We're coming on to our third year.
Wow.
In January. And if you check our archives, you'll see a lot of topics that we've covered from ghosts, from the transcendent, to... you know, dealing with people who want to cause us harm. I mean, we run the gamut of
music.
All sorts of things. And we welcome your ideas, too. And music, of course, as musicians.
Yeah, we used to play, remember, like in the very early days of the radio show, just with acoustic guitar, we played some songs for you guys.
Yeah, we did.
And now we have evolved to my Mac and actually use other songs, like our recorded songs.
That's right.
And I want to give the phone number, just first off.
Sure.
If anybody wants to call in, you can get yourself a free hologram single. I have a cold. Cheryl has a cold. So if I sound like I'm mispronouncing words...
It's because she is.
It's, yeah, pretty much. Anyway, the...
she's pretending that cold is...
It's the cold, everyone.
It's the reason why she can't pronounce the word. I'm just teasing.
I forget how to talk. But call in, because you can get a free hologram single. We'll just send you the MP3. But you got to call in to do so. We know we've got a lot of listeners out there, and
welcome, welcome old familiar friends, listeners. Also, welcome new listeners.
Yeah.
And I was about to say before, we also will tell you the numbers, but I also want to encourage people if they're interested in talking about a specific subject.
Yeah.
Feel free to call. Actually, email us.
Uh-huh.
email us at hollow-graham@outlook.com, and we will have a look at your suggestions and be happy to talk about them. Now, our call-in numbers are toll-free, 888-627-6008. That's in the U.S. and Canada. If you're in Europe, I think you're out of luck to get a freebie, but you can try us. And look on the site. They also give you different numbers on the BBS site as well. Now, our two school for cool from the Pink song, Raise Your Glass, where she sings, so if you're too school for cool and you treat me like a fool.
Yeah. See, we know all the words to all these pop songs because we DJ. Even if I don't want to, like, I can probably rap most of the Pitbull stuff off by heart. Unfortunately.
Yeah, and the Eminem. Actually, we were listening to classic Eminem yesterday. And Limp Bizkit, for those of you who like the classic
hip-hop, new hip-hop, metal. Hip-hop,
yeah, new metal.
Remember
stuff from
new metal? Like, all the, like, Limp Bizkit. Well, Korn was really, actually, really, really good band. Korn was good, but there were so many bands that just jumped on that new metal bandwagon that just scared the crap out of me.
So it's hilarious because we're listening to this compilation that I did with a friend of mine, actually, and he loves bands like Clutch and Turbo Negro, and he put the classic Eminem on and Limp Bizkit. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Because he wanted you to have the experience, too, and have a little bit of a laugh.
I have those songs on my iTunes. So
did you have a little bit of laugh? You enjoyed it. Actually, I was with you, and you were singing the words. You
knew
the words.
I know them.
And here's Ash telling me, how old were you? Grade 2?
When?
When this stuff came out.
Oh, no. I was like, I remember, here's trivia for you people.
All right.
When I went to California to Disneyland with my family, I think I was young. When the very first Limp Bizkit album came out, I bought that in Los Angeles. And so it always reminds me of California. Like, and I'm actually bearing this to you people, telling you that I bought a Limp Bizkit album.
Well, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that.
It's just not.
It's not punk.
Cool.
No. It's not punk enough, which is cool.
I'm admitting everything right now.
Yeah, well, here we are. We're talking about the reason why we chose Too School for Cool is not only because we like Pink and she's a fellow female artist, but also it's really about talking about trends and talking about a lot of our culture's desire to, you know, be considered cool.
And the cookie-cutter ways of it all.
And, you know, and being hip and being in and being now and wearing the latest fashions and driving the latest vehicle and living in the latest suburb.
I'd be happy to live in a trailer and drive a bike. Like, seriously, I could drive and just have a little wagon or a go-kart, and I'd be happy.
You better be careful what you put out there. You might end up living in a trailer and riding a BMX.
That doesn't scare me.
Well, it scares me, because that's not my dream.
It's not.
Is that your dream?
Not necessarily my dream. I'm just very simple.
Well, nothing wrong with being simple. And that really is ultimately what we're all striving for, is just things that bring us happiness, bring us personal bliss, things that fit each and every one of our own blueprints in terms of what it is that we wish for ourselves and what makes us happy and what makes us feel good. So if living in a trailer and driving a bicycle makes you feel good,
wagon, go-kart.
I don't know if you can drive a wagon. I think you'd have to be pulled by somebody. Someone else would be the driver. You probably could have a wagon chauffeur.
Okay. Hey, I'd be happy with a go-kart or
I see a reality show in your future, Ash.
Probably. Hey,
there you go.
Might make me some money and then I'll become cool.
Oh, that's right. You'll be cool because you'll be rich.
Hey,
another thing. A lot of people feel.
Look at those Duck Dynasty people that, like, kill ducks and they're so, like, detrimental to the environment. And they're somehow, like, I was in Aberdeen the other day.
Yeah, you're just hanging out in Aberdeen.
I was just hanging out in Aberdeen. And I go to the Walmart there because we need ice. And they had so many Duck Dynasty shirts. And in there, I saw people just wearing them. Like, they got them from somewhere else, too. Like, I saw so many people wearing these Duck Dynasty shirts. And how is that, like, awesome? I don't get it. Anyway, end rant.
Well, my brother and his wife and their children watch Duck Dynasty.
I like Honey Boo Boo.
They told me a while ago, I think last year even, that I should check it out because they just love the show. And I actually recently watched an episode. And I'm not a reality television fan.
We're going to cough. See,
we might cough through the show, so apologies are in advance here. But, I don't really like reality TV. I think, again, just like any biography, autobiography.
Cake Boss, yeah.
It's fact, fiction. I mean, Everything is fiction. Even our, because it's all about our interpretations. So, I mean, there's a whole other show is about what is truth.
Yeah.
And we've actually done shows on truth, so check out the archives. But right now we're talking about cool. Talking about, especially my concern with this topic is, because we are starting school, and it's a lot about the school kids, and it's about, you know, if you go back, for those of you who are listening, go back to when you were a kid, and go back to when you're actually going your first day of school, especially high school. I'll never forget, I went into, when I was in eighth grade, I went into a new school, and I'll never forget how daunting it was, because I was going to be the littlest kid of the big kids, and definitely when you're at that age, how imperative it is, you don't want to stand out in any way, shape, or form. You just want to be left alone, because the last thing you want to do is to be bullied or to be, you know, focused on as someone who's not wearing the right jeans or not wearing the right running shoes or trainers if you're from the UK. Just that pressure on kids, and it's still there. It's still very much there, and, I mean, we've done a show before on bullying. We've talked about children, I mean, the heinous act of, it is a heinous act because it causes so much harm. There are actually children that are killing themselves because they can't handle the stress of being bullied and not feeling like they belong or not feeling like they're okay. And this show to me is really just saying and emphasizing how okay it is, in fact, not to be considered cool.
That's an important thing.
Like, there we go.
Even when I remember in grade 7, I think my mom shared the story on the radio before, probably, but Sherelle and Laura, they sucked. They were so mean to me, and they made fun of my Adidas jacket, All Day I Dream of Sex. My mom set them straight. My mom's a firecracker.
What?
All Day I Dream of Sex.
You wore an Adidas jacket that said All Day
no,
I Dream of Sex?
No, that's what they said it meant.
Oh!
And I was so upset.
Oh, my God.
And they made fun of me.
How old were you?
I was in grade 6, actually, 6 and 7. And they were idiots. And then they actually, like, I think both of them or one of them apologized to me, even in high school. And I was like, okay, whatever. But they were...
Well, that's pretty cool that she apologized.
But the
to
thing
you.
About
Most
it...
Most people don't even do that.
The thing about it, like, if we're really getting down to the way things are, I was half one of the cool kids. I could hang out with the cool kids. I hung out with, like, the skaters and everything. But anyway, they were the uncooler ones that hung out with horse people. And like, why make fun of me? Like, really? Do you feel like it? And I had a lot of friends, whatever, like, just my little group of rebels, but not rebels, because I never got detention. Actually, I did. I got a lot of detentions, but not that many.
You got a lot of detentions.
Yeah.
It sounded almost like, because with your cold, it sounded like you said, I got a lot of attention.
Yep, I did. But anyway.
She got a lot of attention in detention.
But anyway, that was just so weird. Like, I remember, I haven't experienced a lot of bullying. I actually did later on in my life, more when I was an adult than I was a kid. But there are some real idiots. And then it made me think, oh, okay, this is really not life. Like, people think that when you're in school, that's how it's always going to be. But as soon as you get out, they're suddenly small fish in a big pond, and then they're questioning everything that they've ever thought of as themselves suffers.
Well, I think the challenge is to always remain true to yourself in those situations. And it's hard for kids, because I'll never forget my son when he was younger. He started wearing glasses at a very young age. He was 5. And so he wore glasses from the age 5 on. And then it got to a point where he was at a school... That looks suspicious.
Travis
is wandering away, and I'm wondering, what is he up to?
Travis.
Sorry, I got distracted by the dog.
See, she can't even pronounce words correct.
No, that's correct. It's distract,
it
not
is
distract.
Not...
I'm
okay,
teasing
okay,
you.
Okay, fine.
Anyways, and I'll never forget when we moved, and he was going into a new school in fourth grade, and the kids were just on him about his glasses. Like, just on him, and
that's
it was dumb. He was going through so much because... I mean, it's just glasses. Come on.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just felt, I felt for him. And there's that part of me as a parent, you probably can relate out there who are parents, where you want to just, you know, give your son or your daughter the strength to persevere and just sort of, you know, be able to handle it. But unfortunately, in a lot of situations, it's no matter how much they persevere and try to just stay true, they just feel very beaten. And this is what was happening to my son. And so at a young age, I mean, how old was he then? 12 years old, maybe? I said, let's get you contacts. And that we did. And then the teasing for the glasses stopped. Now, the reason why I share that is, I mean, there was a part of me that was in, I mean, it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool for kids to wear glasses, I guess. Yeah. Maybe it was, who cares? I mean, really, I think it was just some new kid was there and they wanted to find something to bug them about. And that's what they focused on. But the thing is that I went through I wrestled myself because I wanted to be supportive of my child in that he could still wear glasses and be who he was and stand firm and steady and not have to change because of peer pressure. But because it just felt like the path of least resistance, I said, well, let's just do what we can so that we get whatever they're focusing on out of the way for you. And so that's what I did. And even in hindsight, there's a part of me that wishes that I didn't, but I'm glad I did because he ended up feeling better.
That's good. Well, all I know is that, like, it's, you kind of got to nip things in the bud, and you don't really always have to change for someone, like, you know, by getting contacts or, you know, taking off my Adidas jacket. But I also know that sometimes it's okay to bend a little bit and not because you're afraid or it's just because you don't want the shit. You don't want the trouble. And that's happened to me actually in life before, whether it's been, you know, different friends I've had that I had to, they wanted me to change certain things or whatever it was just to kind of fit in with them. But I'd much rather just not hang out with that person or be friends with that person if they're making you change. And I don't know, I've always felt that it's more important to remain authentic than to remain liked. And every time that I've had the chance to, you know, even meet different people that I've looked up to and things like that, I've never wanted to kiss ass. I've never wanted to try and pretend I'm somebody I'm not just to get the, you know, just the attention of somebody. And that's why I like Sean, actually, Cheryl's son, because he's really cool. He's really authentic.
He's a good guy.
Yep.
You're a good girl.
Yep.
Travis is a bad dog. He peed.
Oh.
So actually, I went off and cleaned it up
a little
bit. Didn't
he just go to the bathroom?
Yes, he did. That's why I was outside. Anyways, I want to talk about this new...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate it.
This is trendy, right? We're talking about trends, and right now there's that trend of twerking. Now, that's been coming up, and I looked it up.
Twerking sucks. I can't stand that word.
Probably about a week ago, I'm going, what is this twerking thing? They're talking about Miley Cyrus when she was on the VMAs, twerking and all that. So I look it up, and it means that twerk the hips. So twerk the hips, I guess in a sexually suggestive manner. But they even brought it up last night. We did a gig in West Vancouver, and one of the speeches that were made, they were talking about twerking. I thought, well, this is interesting. We're having a show tomorrow on what's cool, what's hip, and I guess twerking is cool and hip right now. But, I mean, we all go through phases. I mean, you look generationally and how whatever was in style, you know, was in style in the moment. Like, we're talking even decades. We're talking about when you were into Limp Bizkit, and that was the style. I mean, music is a style. Clothing is a style. You know, I'm talking about what's in, what's fashionable. The way you wear your hair.
Yeah.
You know?
I've noticed, actually, you know what? I'm not going to interrupt you for long, but I've noticed that lately. When Justin Bieber had his hairdo, so many people, like any guys that I would see, like younger guys, had their hair like him, like, you know, the longer kind of swoopy hair. And then all of a sudden he changes it, and now all these guys, the new hairstyle is the slick back look.
Because of Bieber?
Yes.
No way.
Yes, it happened.
I don't even pay attention to Bieber. I have to.
I work with
Bieber.
Children. I see.
Well, maybe
these
that's
trends.
Why I don't. Yeah, so people are the trendsetters. Remember back in the 60s, Twiggy, the fashion model, she set the trend for being ultra skinny for women. I was actually even thinking when I was preparing for the show, even mentally, I was thinking about a friend of mine who's quite an accomplished jewelry designer. And we were talking about fashion, the fashion industry. And she was saying how most of the fashion industry is created by men who are just interested. It's almost the boyish figures are attractive. So
yeah.
So we have a lot of women in fashion magazines that are, you know, very boyish looking in in how slim and slender they are. And then we take it as that's what is fashionable. That's what we should look like. We take it as a directive. And I think this is part of where we all need to kind of let go of what's dictated by the media. And, you know, instead of looking at a fashion magazine and comparing ourselves and saying that we're not as good as, or we don't look the same as, or I guess that's beauty, or that's what's construed as beauty, so I guess I'm not beautiful. I like the Dove campaigns they have on now about women. You know, it doesn't matter what shape or size you're on, you know, what height, what weight, what color, whatever we are as women, we're all beautiful. And I know a lot of people out there would go, you know, ha, 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 yeah, right, because they're just in this very shallow place of not even understanding not only themselves but also how to relate to others on a purely intimate level as opposed to a visual level.
I actually just got a text from Ash's mom who says she's been trying to call in, but it just keeps ringing and no one answers. So I don't know if other people have been trying to call as well. Apparently it just keeps ringing. So if you are calling, try and call again.
So we've opened up in the past to, we have a Twitter. We each have our own Twitter. Ash has, hers is Riot Agogo.
Which I don't use.
R-I-A-T-R-I-O-T.
I will make it.
R-I-O-T-A-G-O-G-O.
There you go. I will make a commitment to try and tweet more.
And mine is Cheryl Catherine. But we have a hologram one that we have opened up to our listeners to, if you want to tweet us an answer or a question, an answer even, or, you know, if we bring something up and you have something to comment on it, or if you want a question answered, then tweet us at hologram, right?
No, hologram music.
Hologram music, sorry. H-O-L-L-O-W, gram, G-R-A-M. Music. That's what we are on Twitter. And we just got a tweet from Woody's alter ego, our friend Bob. Hi, Bob.
You're awesome, Bob.
Out in Pennsylvania. We send you love and not germs.
That was actually really funny. Oh, you make me laugh.
Oh, well, it's better than making you cry.
True enough. Last night we were pretending that I was upset because I have this cold and my eyes kept watering and I kept fake crying and saying that she's affecting me.
Well, we were DJing a wedding, so I thought that it was the bride and groom that were causing you so much emotional...
Their tender hearts and joy.
Expression.
That's what did it.
Okay, you read the tweet.
Okay, hang on 1 second. I lost it.
Just read it.
Okay. So he says, Woody's alter ego, freaking annoyed, awesome guy. Conformity is primitive. Need to belong to tribe for survival. Illuminati decides all? Question mark.
So this is a whole other thing, Bob. Illuminati, I was actually super interested in knowing more about the Illuminati, and I did quite a bit of research and the Bilderbergs and looked into, I can't even think right now, because my head is full of congestion. But as far as I understand, even the Rothschilds and on and on, I know that there is a belief that the Illuminati, the elite of the leaders and the ones who have the money, and without getting into it too much, and that they are the ones who are dictating. What's coming up for me right now, I'm even thinking of William Randolph Hearst, and went back when he was in charge of all the media and he had the newspapers, and how powerful those who own the media are. And this is, again, getting back to what we were talking about, you know, even fashion. When people are putting 12-year-old girls in a fashion magazine and sexualizing them, and then we wonder why we have pedophiles and why men are attracted to young girls who really at in this time aren't considered of age. Although if you go back to the 1500s, girls were getting married at the age of 13.
Yeah, even 11, I've heard places of.
So again, like, we're talking about our culture today, and we're talking about what works today, and I think sometimes people forget that we are in a different time. And if we sort of mirror ourselves or attempt to mirror ourselves to the past or say, well, this time we have to do it this way, but I think it's essential, and many great prophets and many great philosophers and great historians have talked about the essential quality of each of us to look back in history so that we can kind of examine ourselves in a more thorough aspect as opposed to just kind of a microcosmic aspect of our time. So, of course, we are products of our current time and our current culture, but we're also products of the past. So let's go back. The reason why I brought Hearst in is because I know there was a lot going on with Hearst and what he was doing with the papers, and I know that the Illuminati, they're connected to the media, and I think this is what, Bob, what you're talking about. They're the ones who have the money, who have the power, who own the companies, who own the media. I personally that believe, this is just my personal belief, that they don't have as much power as a lot of conspiracy people and theorists believe that they do. I think that, and even if they did, it's still our own personal responsibility to question everything. And it's a healthy questioning. It's not an unhealthy, like, rebellious, like, I'm just going to be a cantankerous ass.
Or paranoid.
Well, yeah, you don't want to go into the field of paranoia either, because then you're just going to be living in fear. Then that's not where to live. I mean, yeah. You're just basically just a scared little person huddled under a blanket, you know, waiting for the world to crash. Yeah. You know, that Chicken Little, when's the sky going to fall?
Uh-huh.
I think it's important that we maintain our integrity, we maintain the essence of who we are, and this is why a lot of what we speak about, a lot of what I've spoken about in the past as a speaker, is about each person finding themselves, getting to a place of self-recognition, self-love, self-valuing, and then coming together.
Yep,
a lot of us are kind of just looking outside ourselves to become who we are. We already are who we are, man.
Yep.
We don't have to become who we are. But a lot of people are in the false impression and belief that we have to be something other than we are. And this is where fear-mongering happens. We get it even in the media, yeah, because this is how people sell us stuff. You know, if you don't drive this car, you're not cool. You know, you're not.
We accept that, too.
You take it over. I'm going to get water.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that, especially, like, I'll go back even a little bit to the reality television stuff and just how mind-numbing it can be. But I was telling Cheryl actually earlier it's pretty crazy how YouTube is just, like, I've always said, like, since YouTube kind of just started getting big years and years ago, that as long as there's no peace on YouTube, there's never going to be peace in the world. And maybe that's a bit of a fatalist attitude, I don't know, but on every video, almost any video, even if it's a video about a cute kitten, thanks, Cheryl got me water, even if it's a video about a cute kitten having a bath, everyone is still angry with each other, and I don't understand that. But furthermore, the trends on YouTube, like, it's crazy, like people are setting these trends of, you know, who can, you know, tie a shoe the fastest, or there's all these ones like Shane Dawson, he's really cool, you know, whatever, but it's, I don't understand what it is that's making so many people like him famous. They're just likable. They obviously aren't on television, but, you know, I'm sure they are with some interviews and stuff, but they're taking a tool like YouTube, which is really cool. They're hitting a target audience of very, 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 like, impressionable, mostly adolescents, you know, kids from 10 to 20, whatever it is, and they're talking about it, they're going back and giving those videos views, and suddenly that becomes a trend, and money is lining their pockets in somehow, YouTube or whatever, or people like Epic Mealtime or something. It's crazy, like 10 million hits and things like that. And I don't understand why we give that so much attention. that's what I'm wondering. Why is that too school for cool?
I don't know. You posed a question?
Yeah.
I think it's more rhetorical than anything. It doesn't require an answer. I think it's just
but there's gotta
pause
be.
For, you know, for thought. And even one thing you brought up as well, which I've noticed as well, is you get people who are actually, they don't even know each other. They're absolute strangers. And this is an example on band YouTubes, for example, like a band. And
yeah.
I read this recently where they're saying one band is better than the other and you're an idiot and you don't know nothing.
Yeah.
And it actually even gets worse than that. Like the name calling.
Oh,
and,
like
and,
go die.
Yeah. And I'm going, what the f-
On any Alice in Chains video, you will see people saying that Alice in Chains sucks, Nirvana rules, or vice versa.
Yeah, I know.
On
that's
any
ridiculous.
Nirvana,
they're both awesome bands, and one doesn't have to be less than the other. I just don't understand. I want to go back to Bob's tweet because he's saying conformity is primitive need to belong to tribe for survival? Question mark. I think there is truth there. I think that, you know, I also feel that conformity is also for our own need to feel that we're okay. I think individually that we each have something kind of hardwired into us where we want to be affirmed as belonging or affirmed as mattering or having value or having merit or, being correct in some way, even in our very existence. And I think oftentimes we look to the tribe for that. We go, okay, am I all right? Or am I doing this okay? Am I acting all right? Do I seem all right? Do I dress okay? Do I talk to you all right? Do I treat you all right? Am I looking okay? Is my hairstyle okay? So I understand that it's also, again, it's kind of coming back. It's not just about looking to others to be all right. It's ourselves just wanting to feel all right.
Yeah.
So we're reaching out. And so I understand that, yes, I do agree to a point that conformity is a primitive need. It is something that's hardwired into us in a way.
Yeah.
But I also think that I'd like to redefine conformity and maybe give it a different name, as opposed to being a conforming person, just a self. Well, being able to get along, to changing conformity to
a peer acceptance.
Well, just to being able to exist together. You know, and I think the most beautiful thing is when you have someone, and this has always been really important to me, is someone who is just who they are, and you can feel it. You can feel when someone is being who they are, and they're not trying to impress you, and they're not trying to oppress you. I mean, there's a lot of people who are so ego-driven and so fear-based that they overcompensate, and they're actually quite abrasive, and, they're the ones who only talk about themselves. They're the ones who are busy, saying, I'm this, and I'm that, and I know this person, and I drive this car, and I made this much last year. Those are people that are extremely insecure. I mean, they come out and appear to be very secure, but in fact, it's the opposite. And then, again, like having compassion for all people, even the ones who can appear abrasive and can be pushy, it's tough sometimes.
Yeah, you can get hurt. Words really, 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 really do hurt more than actions. And when actions and words are combined, it's sometimes even worse. But it's all about just trying to, and I'll say this too.
Do you think words hurt more than actions? I disagree.
I think that words can hurt more than actions. Oh yeah,
I don't agree at all.
Really?
Yeah.
That's okay.
I think they can be equally harmful, but I don't think that words can be more harmful. I think actions.
Well,
if someone's got a knife and they're slashing you with it, I mean that's pretty harmful.
Of course, but I'm talking about for fitting in and emotions and things like that. Like I'm not talking physical violence.
Because bullying is ultimately words.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting
at.
It's like it's going to hurt a lot more if someone. Like, I mean, I've worked with youth since I was about 15 years old, and I've seen kids commit suicide. It's just crazy. Like, I've seen so much damage just from words. So that's why I say that a lot of the kids even told me themselves they'd rather just be pushed into the lockers than tormented every day. So, I mean, of course, if somebody slashed me with a knife, that's worse than being called stupid. But you know what I mean, to the extremes.
Well, what I'll take from that is that we oftentimes think actions are more powerful, but we have to recognize the power of words and take responsibility for the things that come out of our mouths. So we have a special caller. Unfortunately, we don't have our song today, so it's Ash's mom.
It's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom.
Where?
It's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom.
Where?
It's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom.
On line one.
That's right. There you go. Hi, Janice.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, I don't know what it was. I'm on the cell phone now, and that seems to work, but the landline wouldn't work. It just kept ringing. So that's probably why you're missing some calls tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's disappointing.
That could very well be.
Yeah.
So what pearl of wisdom do you have for us tonight?
Well, I wrote it. I texted you what my words were.
Oh, yeah. She texted and she said this. She said, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. That's Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, and you know what I said? That goes out to the bullies.
Did you know, Janice, that you just quoted Jimi Hendrix?
I did.
That's a Jimi Hendrix
quote. Wow.
So that's where
channeling me.
I think Jimmy's been talking to you.
Yeah, he has been.
Yeah,
he must
what
have
else
been.
Did he tell you?
Well, he says it's fun being where he is, and he says, can hardly wait till all you guys get here. I have some friends that I'll send down to talk to you. That's what he said.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So it's true. Yeah. When the power of love overcomes the love of power. And that was a Jimi Hendrix quote. And I am a huge fan of Jimmy's. I love, like, he was about love. I've actually even listened to a song of his recently about love. And here we are. We think that we're, you know, we're totally evolved now, metaphysical yeah. people and, you know, new age, whatever you want to call where we are, and we're not. It's just, we're just basically from the past, the people that are impassioned and about peace and love. And,
yes.
and that's really cool that you brought that line up. That's really funny. And I appreciate that you said that. It's I love that quote. That's one of my favorites.
And you know what, too? That goes out to the bullies because they have power, right?
Well, usually, I mean, my understanding of bullies is that they feel powerless. So they have, it's the same thing with rapists. They feel powerless. So they have to have power over someone.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of
but
premise.
They think they have power. They think they have power.
Well, it's also power in packs.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, okay. You know, again, we talk about individuals versus groups, and a lot of times they've even done studies. People, when they're in groups, will do things that they wouldn't otherwise do when they're on their own. So,
you know,
people get influenced, and this is why it's so important for each of us to not only teach our children, but also remind ourselves that in any situation, stand firm in no matter what, stand firm, because ultimately we'll be happier for it in the end. You know, you're probably much better off saying your piece and being not cool and realizing later that was the best thing you could have done.
Yep.
And you know what? When Ash was in school and she'd come home and she'd say, oh, you know, those kids, you know, they were bugging me. I says, oh, you know, the ones that think they're cool. I said, there's a secret right there, Ash. You just said it. The ones who think they're cool. If they were cool, they wouldn't have to think they're cool.
Yeah, that's what you always used to tell me.
Yeah, and it's so true. If they really were cool, they wouldn't have to think they're cool, you know?
Yep, I agree, and that's what people spend too much time just trying to put on that facade than actually just being authentic.
Yes, and it was Amanda with the Adidas jacket.
Oh yeah, I remember her. And then
it was Laura.
And then we became
Laura and Sherelle were the other ones.
Yeah, I remember. And then after Amanda and I became best friends for a while.
So what was the sex thing?
Oh,
what
yeah.
It's all day I dream about sex. That's what people are saying. Adidas meant.
Okay, all day I dream about sex.
It sounds. ADDIAS.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, when you're in grade six, I guess, you know, someone saying that is just awful. But when you're in grade 12, you don't care. You're going, yeah, right, I do.
Yeah.
No big deal.
She came home so mad, she ripped off her jacket, threw it on the floor. I'm never wearing that jacket ever again. And I said, why? I said, you loved that jacket. You wanted an Adidas jacket. We got you one. And she said, well, Amanda said.
We got it at a thrift store for so cheap. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I loved it so much because I got it for like $5. And then everyone was just.
They were ultimately probably jealous, and that's why they teased you, is they didn't have their own Adidas jacket. But,
yeah,
I mean, kids
so
are off.
Kids, Amanda.
Are harsh. Kids are harsh.
Yes.
So do you think that they're... Did you think you were a kid that was, you know, pretty prone to being cool when you were growing up?
No. I was a peacemaker. I don't know. I'd see somebody being bullied, and then, you know, you'd see them, you know, crumble into a heap and start crying, and the cool kids would walk away, and I'd be there to pick up the pieces. And I'd tell them that they are cool, and they are pretty, and they are this, and they are that, and don't listen to them, and, you know, they just feel insecure, and they have to, you know, take their insecurities out on someone else. So that's what I did. And that's what Ash did, too.
We need more peacemakers. Because
I told her, I said, you know what, just remember what it feels like to be picked on, you know, so you never pick on somebody. Like, you know, don't be the one that picks on somebody, because you know what it feels like. It hurts. So she never did. She never picked on anybody, and she was always there. I said, if you even stand by and let somebody pick on somebody, then you're as guilty as the people that are picking on them.
I know. I did that once before, and I still feel bad because I stole this kid's shoe and threw it for him to fetch it. I still feel bad about that.
Really?
But I went with Casey. We went to McDonald's to get an ice cream once, and he worked there. And he was like, oh, my God, I saw you in the newspaper. And that's so cool. And, like, he was really liked my, and I was like, I'm sorry for throwing your shoe. He's like, what? And I was feeling so bad about that for years. He forgot.
And he didn't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, again, a lot of children are so concerned in school, majority of them are so concerned about being trendy and being hip and being cool and wearing the cool Adidas jacket. And wearing the cool Seafarer jeans back in my day. and, you know, it's a kind of, sometimes it's a case of you're damned if you do and you're damned when you don't. Because when you do, you know, you're cool, but then people don't like you because, you know, you got the cool stuff. And when you don't, you're not cool. It's a really weird place to be. And I think this is, again, like how can we as a culture... I know as parents that we can instill these values in our children and, you know, to be kind to others and not to, you know, ostracize anyone because they're different or they're not wearing the cool pants or they're not wearing, you know, the in things or they wear glasses or they have braces, whatever it is. How do we as a culture in terms of like the school systems especially, this is my question, get it so that we can help really teach our children as a community, not just as parents, but as a community to not indulge in this kind of behavior towards other children.
And you know what it is? You have to start at home because these young bullies grow up to be big bullies. And you see them in the workforce. You see them, you know, pushing their carts through Walmart. You see them everywhere. Driving, you know, they're the ones that, you know, try to push you off the road and, you know, flash you the finger. They grow up to be big bullies. So these kids, they breed them and they become bullies, and it's just a vicious circle. You have to break the circle. You have to go to the home and you have to educate the parents first.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, we have a lot of families that are quite, you know, dysfunctional and sick, and that seems to be the, you know, the word, everybody's family is dysfunctional, but I'm talking about families that are, you know, come from abusive backgrounds. A lot of the bullies, again, from what I understand and what I've read, a lot of bullying comes from homes where they feel that they're being bullied, where they're being abused. And so it's not always, but I know that this has been a trend as well. And I mean, so yeah, it begins in the home, but I'm talking about as a community. I mean, there's a lot of homes that are really sick and that are dysfunctional. Yes. And that's when the communities have to step in, like social workers and you know, police and on and on. But I'm just, my question, and this is rhetorical. I don't expect an answer. I'm just sort of putting it out there. What is it that we can do as a community? Because I think a lot of us are very self-involved where we don't feel that our neighbors' children are any of our business. And I think
or
that
they're afraid of a lawsuit.
Yeah, or, you know, afraid of being told to F off or whatever. I mean, most people avoid confrontation. So, you know, unfortunately, we've got a lot of people in this planet, I think, who have their heads in the sand. And would rather just keep their heads in the sand than get actually involved and maybe get their fingers a little, you know, get their hands a little bit dirty. But it doesn't mean ultimately that they stay that way. I think that we've allowed for so much. And it's not, you know, I was thinking today, I'll never forget that woman, Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Oh my God. I remember her.
We have these sort of extremists, these fundamentalists actually quite dangerous. And I think she's one of them. I like to think of having a happy medium where you've got people that have good sense, a good sense of who they are, have great compassion, like the Dalai Lama or Gandhi, have a lot of love for themselves and for their fellow human beings and fellow creatures. We're talking animals and this entire planet. And just start, you know, kind of sharing that with each other. Mm-hmm. And instead of just being so insulated, you know, I just think that a lot of us kind of wash our hands and say it's not our business. And I think that we need to make it our business. I think people need to start being a little more consciously aware of what their surroundings are as opposed to just what their direct, who they are and what's going on for them. And get a little more involved. And you know, come into a place of healing. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who suffer from drug abuse, who suffer from alcoholism, who suffer from extreme low self-esteem. You know, everybody has something. We all have our burden to bear. And it's not about overindulging each of our burdens. It's just about saying, hey, I got this burden, and how about your burden? I really do think it's more about community-based stuff.
You know what you were saying about Laura Schlesinger, whatever her name is?
Dr. Laura.
And everybody was so pissed off about her, but then she got a whole bunch of supporters, too, and they kind of kept her around. And I just forgot her name, so I looked it up. But do you remember, like, the Westboro Baptist Church?
Yes.
Like, I think her name, I forget, Fred Phelps and his wife and them and everything. And apparently they have a big following now in Canada.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking how, like, they protested even Ryan Dunn's funeral from Jackass when he passed away. They protested Heath Ledger's, like, They have been absolutely horrible to everyone, and they, I think, are the by far the most damaging people in this world. I would like to say I send them love, but I hate what they're doing.
And that's okay. We can hate what other people... We can hate each other's actions.
Yeah.
I think that's healthy, because that means we're passionate about something. We're not complacent. We're not apathetic. And I don't think that we should tolerate these extremist movements at all. I think that these extremists... I mean, of course... Power, you know, we have the right to say this and the right to say that, and, you know, freedom, our rights and all that. But do we each have the right to cause harm to each other? I don't think so.
I think that's
when we step over the line. And especially when we do it in the name of God, in quotation marks, and the name of religion, in quotation marks. I mean, that's dangerous, and everybody's got to stop tolerating that kind of stuff and start saying this is bullshit and call it what it is, because it's pure bullshit. God would not even, in my mind or estimation, ever support that kind of stuff. That's their own shit. It has nothing to do with with anything spiritual, nothing to do with love, nothing to do with source energy. It's all to do with their own fear, their own wish to be powerful and to have power. And then they're the ultimate conformists. They're the ultimate in their own little tribe. It's cool to be in their tribe. It's cliquey. It's separatism. And as soon as you have separatism, you don't have source. You don't have love.
Well, exactly. And I mean, they even especially that group, they became famous in like 1998 when they were, remember when Matthew Shepard died? Do you remember him?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I do.
And like since then, they've just been on the rise. And I don't understand how they can be getting supporters. But I mean, besides the fact, I think that's what, going back to what you were saying, that people do in packs what they wouldn't do by themselves.
Yes, and they also want to feel that they belong. And this is getting right back to what even Bob was asking about. The desire to conform is kind of a tribal instinct. It's very ingrained in terms of our genealogy.
Yeah.
And so we want to conform, and then we conform in very dangerous ways. And this is, again, getting back to that sense of what is right and what is wrong. Like for all, not just sort of taking our very insular kind of situations, but thinking about everything collectively. Yeah. And this is, again, why I was saying about, I think a lot of our solutions is in broadening ourselves, opening ourselves up to there are other people in this world other than ourselves. We all have our challenges. We all have our difficulties. And it's just about, and it's hard. I mean, I'm coming from a place where I have my own challenges. And when you're in your challenge, it's hard to even think of or even, you know, want to be involved in someone else's.
Yeah.
But I do truly believe that that's the ultimate answer for all of us, is to get involved with each other in a very loving and supportive way. And that comes to the place of being open-minded and being accepted.
Yeah.
You know, accepting is what I meant to say. We need to be willing to get outside our own little boxes and even just the way we think, you know, this is my reality. We have these extremist groups. And a lot of them grew up that way. And so they believe, because they're not...
Almost like the Amish.
Well, like the Amish. A lot of it is lack of education, yes. Yeah. I mean, it is true that education is knowledge. Knowledge is freedom.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting outside, and this is why I said before, question. You know, if someone says to you, yeah, you're not cool, you know, you're not driving your BMW, and you're like, why do you think a BMW is cool? Question it. Even throw it back at someone else. Like, why would you think that's cool? And just allow even the person who is subjecting you to that to be who they are, but to give them pause to think.
I really agree with that, because it's almost like, what would, I'd think about that. What would somebody answer if I said, why do you think that's cool? I'm going to try doing that to some students this week. Be like, oh, really? Why do you think that's cool?
I think that's a great thing. We need to question more. And instead of just, you know, allowing someone to tell us that this is cool and you better buy it, and then shaming us into something.
Yeah.
Just standing up for ourselves and going, you know what? I'm not feeling it. And I mean, this is another way that we can get out of this drudgery of consumerism too, because there's so much, the marketing is just geared to that too. And ultimately, I just want everybody to be who they are. And so many of us aren't. There are layers of each person, and you can see them almost peel back like masks when you actually are talking to somebody. And you can tell when someone's not even being authentic in terms of who they are. You can just feel it. We need to get more in touch with our feelings. We need to give others permission to truly be who they are. Warts and all, let's love ourselves first and then give it to others. And we're running out of time, Janice. Thank you for calling in and being persistent.
She just texted and said she doesn't know why, but her call ended. So.
Ah, well, we love you, Janice. Thank you for calling and sharing what you did and that great Jimmy quote. And
yeah, that was awesome.
Thank you all for bearing with us as we plod on through with our coughing and whatnot. And
Travis.
We send you much love, and we want you to know that you're exactly perfect the way that you are.
You are cool.
And just keep kissing trees and loving yourselves, your family, and your community. And check us out sometime if you're interested in knowing more about Hologram, holo-gram.com. You can check us out. We got the radio show stuff on there. We got our music.
We've
got our vlogs. We got a new video coming out. So we wish you every success in your lives here. and we'll take the same for ourselves. Bless you. Bye.
Bye.